possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
97.1 FM Talk. Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Always a surprise when I pop those headphones on and the last person at this position, which I believe would have been probably Annie Fry over here.
Maybe.
On this side.
I know Hannah had
them,
wasn't there.
Had them cranked up. I'm going to have to check Annie's hearing, I'm afraid. Just about blew me out there. Anyway, glad you're with us this morning. A gorgeous start to the day out there, I have to tell you. I've got a jacket on, not so much because of the temperature outside, but because the temperature in the studio. It's beautiful outside this morning. It's in the 60s. And Ethan and I are both going camping. We're going camping in opposite directions this weekend. You're going south. I'm going north. But the weather ought to be just like this, which is just this
perfect
time of year, Labor Day, weekend, it couldn't be any better than that. Just to sit outside at night, there's a good excuse to have a fire because there's just a little bit of chill in the air, and you can enjoy it. So we're hopefully you got to get nice plans over this weekend to kind of take advantage of that. I stopped and saw my friend from Channel Forbes down here across from the courthouse this morning, the Carnahan Courthouse. I almost called it the Eagleton Courthouse, but the Carnahan Courthouse, because they're covering the indictment yesterday of the sheriff. That news came out. That was kind of a little bit of a shock. There was word, first of all, he was spotted being taken in handcuffs to the FBI headquarters. And then, of course, he ended up over at the Eagleton Courthouse where he was apparently indicted. And they took away his guns. So now the sheriff of the city of St. Louis is not allowed to carry a gun. But apparently he's still on the job from what we can tell. And I guess they've tried to suggest that he should probably resign over all this, that Tom Albus, the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, has suggested that. But that has not happened as of this morning. So the news media is all out there covering this today. And, his attorneys claim he did nothing wrong. There's nothing to see here. He's accused of restraining, apparently, a member of the jail staff improperly, and I think that's the official charge here. And originally, he was also accused of nepotism. It looks like maybe they've dropped that charge, but got a little bit of a mess on our hands here in downtown St. Louis. Nothing new, it doesn't seem like, connected to either the sheriff or the jail over there. So we'll cover that story for you a little bit this morning. Continue to cover the fallout from this situation in Minneapolis. And sad. A little bit later, you know who's somebody who's kicked off some fireworks over this whole thing is former Congressman Trey Gowdy, who, of course, has a show on Fox and does a podcast and all that. You hear him on there all the time. He made some comments that, like Gun Owners of America and a few of the very solidly pro-Second Amendment groups have said were pro-gun control. And he's got a new book out. The book has nothing to do with any of this. It's a book of fiction that he wrote based on his experience as a prosecutor. But we're going to get him on the air today at the 8 o'clock hour. We'll ask him about that. He's perfectly capable of defending his position on this. I guess it comes down to this. What do you consider gun control? Like, if you increase mental health laws to keep people who are nutty, like the kid who was a boy who thought he was a girl in Minneapolis, is that a gun law? Well, I mean, technically, it's putting a restriction on somebody's ability to get a gun. It doesn't specifically ban any particular gun. But that can be viewed as gun control. And I got to say, I mean, if you're going to categorize it that way, I have long pushed for a fix to our mental health problems. Well, we need to fix our mental health problems. A fix to our mental health laws so that we have a better way of legally filtering out people who should not have access to weapons. We're smart enough to do that. Hell, we could probably sign it to AI. I'm just kidding. The point is, as long as it's gone through due process, there ought to be somebody out there who could reach the conclusion that, well, this kid is delusional. His parents knew it. His siblings probably knew it. And yet nobody said anything out of fear that, they would, label the kid as mentally incompetent, which he should have been. So unless you start holding people responsible for that, I don't know how you get around that. I'm just saying. But we're going to talk to Trey Gowdy about his thoughts on it coming up here before the end of the show today in the 8 o'clock hour. Ethan, when are we giving away those Doobie Brother tickets? 7 o'clock?
Yeah, 7 I believe in hour. The 7 o'clock hour.
All right, we'll get to those. We got J.J. Carafano. We're going to get to Congressman Bob Onder, who just got back from Israel. We'll talk to him in the Capitol beat today in the 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll get you a check of business coming up here. And heart attacks. We're going to talk about heart attacks this morning. I know it's connected to there's been a sharp increase since COVID. That's not going to be a headline to any of you. We know about the problems with otherwise healthy young males dropping dead on athletic fields. We know that problem exists. We're going to talk to a medical doctor in the next hour to kind of dig into that just a little bit more. So I got all that coming up for you here before the end of the show today. Dan Buck, who's been filling in for Kim, happened to have already scheduled Thursday and Friday off. That guy, I got to say, I saw a promo yesterday for that Channel 5 anniversary they have coming up of their Show Me program. Dan got pretty emotional during that. I can't wait to talk to him about that when he's back in here next week. He'll be here on Monday. Talking about the fact that he did the last interview with Jack Buck. As part of his coverage at Channel 5 years ago, and they used part of that in the promo. So anyway, Dan, that guy is in Columbus for that big Ohio State Texas football game this weekend, and that's going to be a great game, and I'm jealous that he's there, but that's why he's not here this morning. So you got me and Ethan, and of course, Sue Thomas will be along shortly with checking your traffic. Right now, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Look, what I will say about this individual is that her lawyer's statement made it abundantly clear themselves that she was not aligned with the president's mission to make America healthy again.
Yeah, does RFK Jr. have the right to fire somebody at CDC? As RFK Jr. said, the place is a mess, and the fallout, the other people resigning just kind of prove that. He's right on that count, I believe.
Kilmer Abrego will be deported. Him and his attorneys are putting off the inevitable. But if the judge rules on the statute, if the judge rules on the law, he's going to go home.
Well, maybe not exactly home, Tom Homan, but he's going to go to his new home for sure. And I say you go. The problem here is another activist judge who's delayed that until at least October.
I can point you to several, of the highest profile mass shootings in the United States in which cannabis use was found in people's bodies after, I'm talking about in the shooter's bodies, upon autopsy.
All right, smoker's going to hate, but that guy is Alex Berenson. He was on with Laura Ingraham yesterday. He's done a lot of studies on this. The kid involved in the shooting in Minneapolis, addicted to pot smoking, smoked a lot of it, and the Alex is questioning whether or not that or that and some combination of the powerful pharmaceuticals that he was probably taking might have led to his insanity.
And so we're going to have a conversation of freedom versus protecting children. I mean,
that's Trey Gowdy. I picked that interview up from him the other day. That's the one that the folks at gun owners were so concerned about, saying he was pushing for gun control. You know, I do a 2A segment on here every week. I own guns. I carry guns. I love guns. All of that stuff. You will not find any stronger proponent of the Second Amendment, I don't believe, in this world or on the radio than me. You won't. But I also believe that there's a reason we do background checks, and that is to make sure that people who are felons and who have, you know, committed acts of violence shouldn't be able to walk into a gun store and buy a gun. Who are the people that fall through the cracks? The ones who are nuts. If you're nuts, somebody around you knows you're nuts. And I think we have to have a system that recognizes that. And we have never, ever, ever addressed that in this country to any effective point. And I think that's what Trey Gowdy's getting at here. And we're going to talk to him live this morning, as I mentioned, in the 8 o'clock hour at about 8:35. We'll get the former congressman on the air, and we'll pick his brain on what he meant there and maybe talk to him about his new book. We'll get to all that for you.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Coming up. You're probably wondering, why in the world is Mark Cox playing that music is bumping for his show? But we have Sue Thomas with us this morning, who apparently has only gotten about 4 hours of sleep at this point because you had a late night, didn't you?
Well, yes. Because
why?
A legend was in town, and I had never seen Diana Ross, and I'm trying to see the people that I should have seen when I was a kid. Anyway, wow. She was at the Muni last night with John Batiste, and he was fantastic. And then she came on and shut the place down. It was awesome.
I've never seen her. I've obviously seen her on TV, and I've seen recorded versions of her performances, but is she, how old did she say she is? 81?
She's 81.
Okay.
I mean, and she still sounded like, I loved Aretha Franklin, but at the end, she did not sound particularly well, but Diana Ross sounded really good. Now, she, you know, you can tell that her voice is a little older than it once was, but she did a fantastic job. That I've never seen the Muni so packed. And, you know, the history of the Muni is, at first, it was a venue for concerts. And they're trying to kind of bring that back. So it was a gorgeous night. We've got stars in the sky, and it was a completely packed house. And it was just incredible to see. And in behind her, of course, they had just films running of her entire life. I mean, you got to see a little bit of an interview with she and her sisters and talking about it, and then all of these different performances she did. It was really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
And they're so positive. John Batiste, who's from New Orleans, and he did a parade through the crowd. I mean, he hit pretty much every aisle. And it was just, how do I say this? These people are so positive that it's just such a great experience. But to see a legend is just, it can't be beat.
Yeah. So you got a 38-year-old and an 81-year-old.
Yes.
Right? I was wondering, I couldn't remember how old he was, but I knew he was a lot younger than her.
Yeah. He, you can see on YouTube doing all kinds of stuff. But he's, I don't know, they're really positive. And the whole crowd was just really into it.
Was she playing all the hits? I mean, obviously she did her Supreme stuff and all that.
Did a little of the Supremes, and she had to do it in kind of a montage at the beginning because there's too much.
Oh, I'll bet.
She came out to I'm Coming Out, which was so awesome. And the whole thing was great. And, it was a really good experience, and I'm glad I did it. But, boy, when I pulled in the driveway in the 12 o'clock hour, I thought, this isn't great.
I got to tell you, man, she needs to take a hint from David Lee Roth. And he can't sing anymore, but
no, he cannot.
He started his concert at 7:30, and it was over by about 9, and I was home by 9:30 and in bed. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh, I do see what you're saying. Well, he has to do something because he can't sing. She's got something left. And gosh, we got to see her daughter came out, and her voice is great. I mean, it was just fun.
Yeah.
You can't, Motown, for heaven's sakes, you know I love the Motown.
Oh, sure, sure.
And yeah, it was just incredible. One of the first acts on it, to see her in St. Louis at the Muni, was just really fun. She did outfit changes, too.
No kidding, at 81?
Yeah.
Wow.
She did three or four.
That's outstanding. I love that. Yeah. And of course, she's got younger backup singers who can still, you know, kill it, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, they can kill it. But I'm telling you, she sounded good. So the whole thing was great. Just great.
Well, I'll wait for some of those videos to pop up on Facebook today.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people that were there are going to start posting those just so we can hear it.
Uh-huh.
Did you get any video of her singing last night?
I did, but my phone is not good at night in these certain rows. So I don't know. I mean, I'll send you a little bit.
Send that to me, Sue. I'd love to listen to a little
All
bit
right.
of that and see see how Diana sounded last night. That is that is awesome. Hey, you texted me here. I catch Sue unawares the other day, and I'm like, hey, ask Sue. I'm telling Ethan, ask Sue why the off ramp from 14th Street. Right?
Yeah, 14th
Street is closed.
40 or whatever.
Yesterday and today. And you found out that it's only during basically the daytime hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't even end up affecting us.
Nope. So you're good.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for that. But everyone else should be warned that if you're coming downtown today and you're trying to get off there by Enterprise Center, that off-ramp is going to be closed. You're going to have to go down to 11th Street or, I guess, Broadway to exit the interstate downtown.
Wasn't it from 14th to westbound 40? I'd have to look that up.
The on-ramp was closed from Enterprise there at 14th Street a couple days this week, and I think the off-ramp is going to be closed a couple days.
Gotcha.
Maybe they're patching some of those potholes.
Yeah, well, that needs to be done.
That would be a good thing. All right, Sue, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate your exhaustedness this morning, because I know exactly how that feels to be out late for a concert like that, and then you know, you're running on just pure raw energy at some point until about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then you want to collapse. So we'll hopefully we can keep Sue with us through the show. Then she can get a nap, and then she can come back this afternoon and work with Reardon. Boy, I don't know how you do that, for sure. Not that it's working with Reardon that's bad, just the split shift. You know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm talking about here, for sure. All right, I don't know if you even know who the current secretary of HUD is. Have you heard of this guy? Turner is his last name. He lit up a reporter yesterday because apparently they're going to, like Medicaid, they're going to go in and put some means testing and some limits on HUD housing, and he chewed up a reporter over it. Stay tuned.
You're talking about the proposed time limits?
Yeah, that's right.
And what is your question?
Just if there's any concern about whether you're going to be pushing out families that need
No, there's no concern at all. Government subsidies were never meant to be a lifestyle. Have you ever met somebody that lived in government housing? Personally?
I don't know if I've asked.
I mean, hundreds of people around our country. Government subsidies were never meant to be a hammock. They're meant to be a trampoline. We're always going to have people in our nation that need help. And we understand that from the heart of HUD. We understand that we'll have these people.
I love this guy, and I got to be honest with you, he's not been on my radar. Have you heard of Scott Turner, the HUD secretary? I mean, I remembered when he was nominated, and I didn't remember knowing a lot about him. He's from Texas. He's apparently a former professional football player and politician from Texas. And Donald Trump tapped him to be the head of HUD. And yesterday, he's in a, I don't know if he was in a hearing or a meeting, and a reporter came up and said, we've heard that you're going to kick some people off of government housing. Aren't you worried about people being kicked out of government housing? You say, no, it's not designed to be a lifestyle. This is not groundbreaking news, you know, but that's what all of these, so many of these government programs have morphed into. People who grow up, generations of people who grow up trying to figure out how they're going to get their check. How do I get my check from the government? Instead of worrying about self-sustainability and doing something with your life, and if you never break that cycle, you're dooming your own offspring to it. It's crazy. But the go along to get along crowd has allowed this to go on for years. There was a brief time when I owned a few rental properties, and I can just tell you, it got to the point after the Obama administration that dealing with HUD was not worth it. The whole attraction of HUD for rental property owners is that if you got a HUD tenant, if you got a Section 8 tenant, that the government check was always in the bank at the first of the month and you never had to worry about it, right? Except then they started making it, well, maybe they only have to pay a portion of the rent. Okay, that's fine. So 75% of the rent is there. Let's say the tenant doesn't pay you the other 25%. Well, you can complain to HUD, but nothing happens. But if you've got a light switch that's not working in the house and the tenant complains to HUD that you haven't fixed it in a quickly enough fashion, HUD just stops paying you until the problem is taken care of. It's morphed into a completely one-sided agency. So I'm thrilled to see somebody like Scott Turner come in there with this common sense approach to say, we're putting time limits on this. Can you qualify for HUD? Yeah. Just like if you qualify for food stamps, you shouldn't be on food stamps forever. It's designed to be a temporary safety net until you can get back on your feet and move forward. It was never designed to be a lifestyle, which is why Pruitt-Igoe and these other places failed so miserably. These social experiments failed miserably. So what do they do these days? Well, and instead of building high rises, we just build low rises that look more like commercial apartment buildings. And we still have the same problem. You have people who live off the government dole who have no motivation to do anything else because the rent's paid by the government every month and the food stamps come in. And why would you ever worry about it? As long as the gravy train keeps rolling. Now they're going to put limits on the gravy train. And you've got reporters like this guy who comes up to Scott Turner and says, well, how can you do this to people? People are going to lose their housing. He goes, you've forgotten what this is about.
When you change the trajectory of someone's future by saying, you know what, we're not just telling you to work, we're going to have workforce training around you, we're going to have skill training around you to get out of government subsidies to live a life of self-sustainability. This is not Democrat, it's not Republican. Poverty has no party. You understand? Poverty's not red, it's not blue, it's not black, it's not white. It impacts everyone, indirectly or directly. So my heart, the president's heart, Senator Crapo's heart is this: how do we help able-bodied people change the conversation and say, you know what, you can do it. This is not political. This is, you know what, you can. So we're going to put time limits on here and help you to traject out of poverty, out of government subsidy, to a life of self-sustainability. That's the heart behind this. Go and research Bill Clinton's bill 1996 when they did real welfare reform.
I was just going to
remember that. You don't remember, you're too young.
Yeah, there was a time when we did put limits on it, and then sometime a long time ago, that all got forgotten about. So this is what I voted for. This is the common sense approach to more limited government that we voted for. Remember what happened with the Big Beautiful Bill. Oh, my gosh. You're going to reduce a planned increase in Medicaid funding? That's a cut. That's the mentality of the left in this country. They will go to their constituents and try to convince them that you're cutting Medicaid because you're reducing the amount of a planned increase. That somehow in their warped minds, that's a cut. They've never met a government program that they want to get smaller, ever. They've never created one because it's how they feed their constituencies and get reelected to Congress and spend your money. I think it was fascinating. Last night I had an opportunity to go to my daughter's school while I think, Ethan, you said you were busy with something with your daughter last night too, right?
Yeah, she had an open gym for volleyball.
Yeah. You know, so we had a situation with the where you get to go in and meet the teachers, basically, for this for my daughter's senior year, and I really enjoyed meeting her government teacher, because he starts out by telling us he's been there 33 years, right? He's been teaching there a long time, and he's just one of those no-nonsense, common sense. Look, he said, I think my class is the most important class in this building. And, you know, parents are kind of looking at him, well, that's kind of arrogant. Why would you say it? And he goes, here's why I say that. There will be students here who will take 4 years of science classes, but they're not going to become scientists, right? They'll take, maybe they take 4 years of math class because we require them to do that. They're not going to become mathematicians. But I'll guarantee you that just about every student that comes through here is a citizen of the United States. There may be a couple of, you know, foreign exchange students or something, but the vast majority of them are citizens of the United States. He said, my class is about teaching them the founding documents of this country and the Constitution. And I want them to walk out of here with a better appreciation of what being a citizen means. Just like Scott Turner said, it's not a black and white issue. It's not always a red and blue issue. It's understanding the gift that was granted to us as we, the people of the United States of America, and that you do have power to change things if you stand up and you speak out about them. I love that. It was refreshing to me because, you know, you worry too much. We talk a lot about education. There's a report out this morning of somebody's uncovered all of the left-wing progressive political action groups in this country that have been funded directly from the National Education Association. It's sickening. So you see that and you worry that in every classroom in America, in every single subject, no matter what it is, these kids are getting their minds warped. But I was relieved to see, and of course we've not thought that about this particular school, but I was relieved to see in this particular class, this government class, world affairs or whatever they call it, that these kids are being given a little dose of reality. Like, for example, and we've asked these questions on here before. It's been a couple of years. But just to read the questions that are on the citizenship test that an immigrant would have to take to become a United States citizen. And he said, you'd be surprised at how many of my students in here, many of whom are juniors and seniors, couldn't answer half those questions. He said, I
might be on that list.
I was sad about that. He said, but it's my job by the end of this semester to make sure that they can. And I'm like, hey, you go, brother. Amen. Yeah,
that's a good teacher.
That's the kind of stuff we needed. He reminded me of Mr. Heflin, one of our teachers when I was in high school. Remember the names of the good ones. You do. They make an imprint on you, and I think that's going to be the case there. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Wow. I have to tell you, Sue Thomas sent me some pictures from that Diana Ross concert last night. And that woman looks amazing.
She looks good.
She's got a lot of money. God knows. I don't know if she's had any work or not, but she sounded good and she looks great. It's hard to believe she's 81 years old. That's great. And Sue ran into our friend Lance Hildebrand out there at the concert last night. So good memories there. Sue, thank you for reminding us of that. That's fantastic. Something that I meant to talk about last week, it never really came up. We got distracted. You know, Dan's in here. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Is this situation with Edward Jones and the layoffs that happened this week or are happening, nobody really attached a number to it. This is what Channel 4 reported about those layoffs yesterday.
Details coming out about one of St. Louis's major employers cutting jobs. Edward Jones says it laid off more than 250 office associates across the U.S. earlier this week. But Edward Jones refuses to tell First Alert 4 how this impacts each of its locations, so it's not clear how many employees this impacts in our area. But it did say the layoffs impact less than 2% of its total workforce across the U.S. and Canada. The company is saying this is all part of a multi-year plan to reinvest in its long-term growth.
Yeah, I have a little bit of insight on this just because I worked there for a while, and I still know a number of people who work for the company. And, you know, the inside story over there is that a lot of people are very disappointed with the current leadership. Penny Pennington is the one in charge over there right now. And within the ranks, there's not a lot of confidence in that leadership. A lot of it has tended toward the more woke aspect. And it's overall it was a good company, but my guess is that when you work for Edward Jones, one thing that's kind of pounded into your brain is the legacy of Ted Jones, who of course was the last Jones to own the company, and he basically turned the company over to the employees. I mean, he could have sold it for God knows how much money, but he didn't need to do that. He just sold it to his employees, basically. And he is revered over there for having done that. So my suspicion is he would look at what's being done now and shake his head just a little bit at the direction things have gone, for sure. I don't know. What I have learned from the ranks sort of inside Jones still is that the thing that they're the most surprised about is that these things are being done for the future strength of the company, is what it claims. These reductions in largely staff, like it wouldn't affect what you see at a local branch if you're an Edward Jones customer. Most of these cuts are internal. But the reason a lot of these folks are surprised is that they do bonuses over there based on how well the company is doing. And I have to have it on good source that they're current the bonus levels range from 1 to 10. They're currently at a 9.5 bonus level. So things are going so well that the people who are partners and junior partners over there are getting almost level 10 bonuses still. But they're cutting support staff. So I think within the company, that's part of the grumbling that's going on, if you've paid any attention to that story at all. And I really hadn't had a chance to talk about it, but that's kind of what the deal is over there, if you're wondering, because they haven't said much about it publicly. I want to point out something, because Bill on Facebook had mentioned this when I was talking about housing and urban development earlier, and his point was that he remembers when Bill Clinton urged HUD, at the time run by Cuomo, the former governor and now gubernatorial candidate in New York City, to allow people to buy homes even if you couldn't afford it. So what goes on at HUD can have an impact on the entire economy. Don't ever forget that. Andrew Cuomo, I've got the sound bites here somewhere in my system. If I'd had a few more minutes there to think about it, I probably could have pulled those up. But in 1998, I think it was, I've got audio with Andrew Cuomo saying we're going to force these banks to expand their lending. We want every American to be able to buy a house and blah, 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 blah. You know, is how he drones on. And basically what they did was they forced banks in this country to reduce their standards for who they would give a mortgage to. Now, those were always determined that we're only going to lend to people that we have a really good positive idea are going to pay us back. And if not, then of course if your credit rating really sucks, you pay a higher interest rate or you don't get the loan at all, right? Because they know that you're more likely to default. But Bill Clinton's HUD forced that stuff. And the result was the derivatives and the bad mortgage debt and all that that drove the market collapse in 2008. It took exactly 10 years from that announcement, roughly, in 1998 to 2007, 2008 for the market to collapse. And that was largely why. Don't forget that. So when I hear this positive stuff from somebody like Scott Turner over at HUD, I am encouraged that they're taking things in the positive direction of weaning people off the public teat, so to speak, and trying to get them to be more productive. Just like with Medicaid, if you are a able-bodied human being, there's no reason you need free health care. Go get a job. A J-O-B, it's called. Go get a job. You can work. You're capable of working. Nobody should have to support you. It's the victim mentality that we talked about earlier this week in connection with what's going on in D.C. and reducing crime. Somebody pointed out, well, they can't not have victims because theirs is a victimhood mentality. The people on the left, the progressives in this country, somebody's always out to get them. Somebody's always hurting them somehow, and only government can fix the problem. Well, in this case, more troops on the ground fix the problem. In Scott Turner's case, weaning people off the public dole, saying, yeah, okay, you qualify for Section 8 now, but you're going to get this for 2 years. That gives you 24 months, and we'll provide you with job training or whatever else we can do to help for you to go get a job so that you can pay your own rent and the taxpayer doesn't have to do it anymore. These are positive steps. Good for him. Makes me happy to see that. All right, coming up, we've certainly covered through COVID and since then the dramatic increase in heart problems, heart attacks. We're going to talk to Dr. Farah coming up. She's a cardiologist, about doctors sounding the alarm over a massive spike in Americans suddenly dropping dead from unexplained heart attacks. We'll get to that at about 6:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.